all right, it figures I would play Stardog and then not be able to hear it because I had to turn the music off because I got company now. Joining me right now, I've got Toss and Chris from the Chris Jones Band. Going on, guys.
What's happening?
What's up, everybody?
Hey, Music Mafia. What's up, family?
Yeah. Yeah, we're waiting on the Mystery Beetle, but they said that, man, and I hope he doesn't kick my ass for calling him that, too.
He's kind of come out with his own persona here, you know? We all have a damn thing to do with it.
But you were saying traffic was a bitch, so, and I get it. I mean, you guys are up there. I've heard traffic in that area of the country can be challenging at times.
Absolutely the worst traffic in America.
Yeah.
Even worse than Atlanta?
Probably. I've traveled all over, and it's actually worse than 5 o'clock traffic in L.A.
Oh, wow.
It's horrible.
All right. Well, we don't need to talk about traffic because that's not why we're here. So why don't we start? And I asked you guys on air. I couldn't remember if you guys had talked to Rick or not. And apparently the answer to that was no. So this is like the first time here on Music Mafia Radio. Why don't you give us a little bit of history of the band?
Okay. Back in 2013, I think. No, sorry. Yeah. Well, I was on tour. This is kind of what happened. I was on tour and came out here, played around all over the place, and ended up meeting Jeremy through Craigslist because he was looking for a singer to come and hang out, you know, do something with his band, and I was looking for a bass player. And so I called up one of my old drummers to kind of do a few shows, and then Jeremy came in and played, and he was fantastic. I'm like, wow, man, you know. So I went and did a few things with his band, and we ended up becoming pretty good friends while we were on tour. I even worked a little bit with him at his day job, just to make a few extra dollars, keep going, you know. And things worked out pretty well, and then we ended up meeting Toss.
Let me tell this. Good. So I get a kick out of this. So Jeremy had jammed with Chris quite a few times. They had a couple of, you know, acoustic gigs and stuff, and then Jeremy called me up out of the blue. Hey, man, you got to come check this Chris guy out. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, I kept kind of brushing it off. Finally, I was like, all right, and he kept calling me. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go check this dude out. And I saw them playing together. They had just the two of them, and they did Chris's originals, and they did some covers. And right away, I was already really digging the originals right off the bat. And I was like, man, this dude can sing. He sings with passion and energy and just, you know, straight from the heart. So after that, I was like, yeah, that's cool, you know. I'd love to jam with you guys or something, you know. And so I think we set up an impromptu jam at his house. And honestly, I think he gave me one of his CDs, and I listened to about 5 songs literally like within the first half hour before I even left to go over there. And I didn't really rehearse them, just kind of listened to a few things, had the structures down basically, and I just went out there and jammed, and we played his stuff, and I loved it. And fortunately, it worked out because I ended up joining the band and told my wife, Tracy, I said, hey, honey, you got to come see this guy. So this guy sings with all kinds of passion and glory and stuff. So, yeah, it was pretty awesome. And so, yeah, that's kind of how I got in the gig.
He must have done a pretty good job of listening on the way over to the jam then, because he nailed it. And I was like, right on. It looks like we got us a band here, you know.
Well, at least I didn't throw the CD out the window and go, I'm good.
I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. All right, so what was life like pre-COVID for you guys? I mean, what was the routine for Chris Jones Band?
2020 BC, before COVID. Get together every Tuesday at least, and we were playing. And then, of course, we were playing a lot on the weekends as a cover band, believe it or not. It's just been recently, I guess, because of COVID, sort of put us into the original band mode where got a studio set up inside my house. It's small. We're a little tight fit in here, but we're getting things knocked out of the park right now. So, you know, there's been a ton of stuff we just hadn't been able to get into the studio. So, you know, before the studio or before COVID was playing live as a cover band, and here we are as an original band that's kicking some serious butt.
It's got to be kind of nice to be able to make that transition, too.
It really is. You know, we've had a lot of people tell us, you know, man, we just love your originals. And when we go out and we play in the cover band, and, you know, we always throw our originals in there throughout the set. And to be looking out in the crowd and have the people be singing back at you like they know it. And it's, you make the transition because you're not a cover band anymore. You're an original band, you know, and we all started off somewhere as a local band, and yeah, we're not going to be local too much longer. We're working on a lot of things.
And we'll get to that here in a little bit. But shit, I forgot. I had a question on top of my head. Let me think about this. I can do this. I have some some recall left.
Use the force.
I'm trying. I'm trying like hell.
The force is definitely strong with this one.
I spent all day outside in the sun today, so I'm really in a mellow mood today, or tonight.
I'm so jealous.
Well, I want to talk about the songwriting, but I want to wait for Jeremy to get here because he's playing a big part in what I wanted to talk about. Oh, I know what it was, and I've asked everybody. From up there in the Pacific Northwest that I've talked to. I mean, I've talked to Sammy. I've talked to the Limberlost crew, the Strangely All Right crew. From where I sit, the music scene up there just looks absolutely freaking incredible. I mean, we've got so much talent here from your area, and you guys all kind of came in different routes. It wasn't like we found one and one suggested we play these six other bands. Is the music scene up there really as crazy as it seems to be from here?
Well, you know, as the live scene goes, it's kind of been null and void for everybody. You know, a lot of people have been traveling to try to get away and play where you can, but I'll be honest. It's the artists that you're talking about that around here that are just fantabulous. They kind of set a standard for all of us, you know. Like Sammy's on MTV2 now, you know. Limberlost are traveling all over the place and looking really good with all their shows, and you know, Strangely All Right. As a matter of fact, we're working with Jason from Strangely All Right, their drummer, with our new mixing and masterings.
Oh, I remember seeing that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. But you know, it's the artists around here that make it like it is, you know. I mean, it's one crazy cool family to be in.
Yeah, I mean, from where I sit, every time we've brought a band in from Washington State in particular, it's just been. I mean, they're two different schools. There's kind of the school that you guys come from, the harder rock, but then you've got guys like Regan and Lee Gregory. And Steve Alamant, who I think's in Tacoma, that have like that heavy Beatles influence in their music, heavy John Lennon influence. But it's just incredible to me that there is just that much talent up there. I never would have expected it until I started doing this gig and started paying attention to where the music was coming from. And
for sure. I mean, and it's diversified. You know, like you say, the influences of everybody is so different. I mean, you got Raymond Hayden with Grieve the Astronaut as well. I mean, there's another artist around here. Her name is Jessica Lynn Witte, and getting ready to do a show with her, put on by Mr. Raiden Heyman here on the 22nd at Jazz Bones. It's going to be a music community networking, Nashville style rounds. And we're going to have Troy Moss is going to be one of the artists, along with Jessica Lynn Witte and myself. And it's going to be a really good time to get together. And for all the people that are in the industry that want to reach out and reconnect, This is what that is all about.
Yeah, we've got Jessica in rotation. Got to meet Ray at a Limberlost show in Denver back in August. And I can't, well, I played Grieve the Astronaut before you guys even got on the air. And I'm falling in love with that stuff.
Isn't it pretty awesome?
Well, he's, you know, I've mentioned him. I mentioned Lee Gregory and Tony from Limberlost. I mean, those are three of the sickest keyboard players that I've ever come across. And I'm saying that as, you know, as an old keyboard player. I mean, they're fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, they got some magical fingers. That's for doggone sure. Yeah.
All right, so.
There's some rocking players.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I mean, and it's interesting to see how people float around. I mean, I know Ray played with Limberlost for a while. You have a family up there that's really, really cool.
You know, I'm kind of a newcomer because I just moved back from North Carolina, 6 and 7 years ago now. So, I mean, really, you know, still kind of a newbie. I grew up here until I was about 19, and then I joined the Marine Corps, and I ended up in North Carolina for 20 years. Who would have thought that I'd end up there because of the weather, right?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
But, you know, I played probably 7 nights a week over there as an acoustic player before I left, and then toured the country, and then I ended up here. But, you know, this community of musicians it's fantastic, and I'm just getting to know some of them, and I've been networking quite a bit. My wife Beth has been tremendous push with our band and the networking and everything that we've been doing. Is she's been just a machine.
Oh, I know that when I can tell when I get stuff from Beth. I can tell because I get like little
because details. It's punctuated correctly.
and I get like details and stuff. It's like,
yeah,
it's like so cool. I mean Chris Jones Band is being very well received by the musical community up there too. I had that Mike Burt guy. He keeps jumping in and out of the chat. You know, we were talking. We had the opportunity to see them. No, that was like, oh my God. No, it was this past August. All right. I was trying, I spaced there for a minute. And, I mean, the whole band was talking about just how great a live experience you guys are. But I want to know, what are your influences? Each one of you, what are your influences?
Okay. That's good. Oh, well, I'm a huge Pink Floyd, Zeppelin, Hendrix fan. Definitely, I played a bunch of like 90s alternative. So I love the Stone Temple, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains. I loved a lot of, growing up in the 90s around here, you kind of can't help but to. But then, like I said, I moved to North Carolina and there was a completely different influence over there because I was a musician playing 7 nights a week by request. So they would throw songs at me that I've heard on the radio and I would just kind of fling it out there even if I didn't quite know it. And I would learn it and I just kept learning song after song. And so my influence is like all over the map, but I definitely love the classics.
Cool.
How about you, Toss?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I'm a 80s party rock kind of guy, you know, down to the core. I, you know, like Motley Crue, Doc, and all the big hair bands. But I also really love, you know, a lot of heavy metal or harder stuff like Disturbed. They're a, you know, big favorite band of mine. But I also really dig, like the Dave Weckl Band. He's one of the world's best drummers on the planet. He plays a lot of, you know, funk and jazz. A lot of instrumental stuff, and the technicality of those guys are just, it's, you know, off the charts. So I draw my influences from a lot of things, and that's, I listen to so much kind of music like that, you know. So that's pretty much what I really dig. You know, old school Buddy Rich. My dad was a huge Buddy Rich fan, and actually Buddy got to see my dad play one time, but so... yeah, I draw my influence from a lot of things, and people are probably like, wow, you like so many different things, or, you know, they're not all the same. Like, how do you go from, you know, 30s and 40s big band jazz stuff all the way to, you know, 90s heavy metal, you know, back down to, you know, Motley Crue or something like that, 80s rock, you know, which I really dig, Van Halen, you know, all that stuff. I really love that stuff.
It's well, I grew up, my dad was a big, big band freak. So I grew up listening to that stuff. And you mentioned Buddy Rich. I, on YouTube or on Facebook, somebody had posted a YouTube video of him doing one of his Tonight Show appearances. And God, he was absolutely incredible.
Oh yeah, there's no words to describe what he could do. And this is all back in the day where, I mean, they, you know, like today's technology on drums where, you know, the head manufacturers, I mean, everything is, you know, top state-of-the-art technology and making all these products. The sticks are, you know, computer weighed and matched and all this stuff. And I mean, they have all these, you know, high-tech machines making all these products where back then they weren't, you know, capskin heads. You know, hand-built drums, you know, I mean, they're still hand-built, but the production, man, you know, the production is not the same. So for him to fly around like he did and have all those chops, and it's just effort. He made it look effortless. And it's just like, dude, you know, it's incredible. And there will be a never be someone like him, never.
No, well, the style, with the technology, the style's changed so much. It's, yeah. You know, particularly over the last, it's been 50 years. You know, and Bonham kind of changed the whole game in terms of what we could expect from drummers. And it's just kind of been built on by you know, Bozio and some of the others. Yeah, we'll never see that kind of drummer again. I agree.
For sure. It looks like our mystery beetle has shown up.
I need proof.
Jeremy, you better come over here and say something.
He'll I'll let him get it settled here. Yeah, looks like he's been rushing.
Grab your phones, bro. There we go.
See, I knew it.
Hey.
Oh dang.
Bass player in the house.
What's going on, brother?
What's happening, everybody?
A little traffic fun, huh?
Yeah, man. It's raining. Took like twice as long as it normally does.
Yeah. All right, so we were just talking about influences. So we'll just jump you right into the conversation. What were your influences growing up?
Oh, man. Probably first band I remember is Kiss in the 70s, and then I discovered AC/DC, and then Van Halen, Judas Priest, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well, and that none of that surprises me whatsoever, because I was going to get to this eventually, but let's see where. Yeah, we're still good for time. You know, back... God, it would have been, I don't know, a year and a half ago, maybe a little bit longer, you guys submitted American Radio, and that was, I think, the first single that we played from you guys. And it was a great rock song. But here lately, I hear that you're having a little bit more influence on the songwriting, and I've noticed that the band, I don't know, a little bit heavier, a little bit more energy. I mean, I'm going to ask all three of you this. I mean, the earlier stuff was definitely great rock, but did you ever anticipate that you were going to be getting into this balls out rock stuff that you're doing now?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It was just a natural progression, I think.
To be honest, these songs are kind of old. We're just kicking them out into the streets instead of having them in our studio, you know? So we just trying to figure out the right progression of putting them out in order, you know, and how we're recording them, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
yes. Some of these songs started right after American Radio was recorded, and then we started writing some of the songs we're putting out now. So, yeah, it's just kind of progressed that way.
Well, and you guys have done a good job in terms of bringing folks, you know, from that point to where you are now, because now it's really fun when I get an email from you guys and there's a song attached, because it's like, all right, you know, and let's see, before Whiskey Guns and Girls, I can't remember the one that was in between, because we played
Driver,
yeah. And so, I mean, you guys, you set the bar each time you send me a song, and it's like, all right, let's see if they can outdo themselves, and son of a bitch if they don't do it every single time.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're getting better at recording, too, so it's kind of getting better as we go. And our songwriting is getting better, too. So
when you guys, well, let's take Whiskey, Guns, and Girls, the latest single. That you included the ladies on, by the way. That was a nice touch.
Yeah,
we needed to have our ladies in there. Come on, the official CJP girls.
Yeah,
and we had a few friends in here as well. So I thought it was pretty awesome to include them. You know, help us make history. You know.
Yeah, they're a big part of it. So it's cool that they finally got to be on one of the songs.
And besides, it was very entertaining to have like five girls in here, and they were let's just say they had a few party favors and drinks, you know, and they were feeling pretty no pain, and they were having fun with it, so it was really cool to watch.
Well, you know, you got to be relaxed in the studio. I mean, there's no other way to do it. If you're not relaxed, it's going to sound like crap.
Well, we had the whiskey and the girls. We just kept the guns down to a minimum.
So when you guys go to record a single like Whiskey's Guns and Girls, how are you guys approaching it? I mean, take us through what typical song production looks like for you guys.
Well, I feel like our process is, Jeremy usually comes in here like, hey man, I got this, you know, check this out. He's got the hook. He's kind of got the main, you know, a little something going on for Whiskey at least. And he goes, let's try this. And, like this outlaw party in the sticks kind of song. And I'm like, okay, that's a lyric. And, so we started messing around with it, and, you know, here he spits out I can't remember if I spit out the music or he did, whatever we did together. And here it was, you know, it was just a great song. Yeah. And, so we're at practice. Toss has usually got the click playing in his headphones, so we're usually pretty much, our meter is solid, so we just roll through stuff, and we ended up taking that. That's kind of a live recording right there.
Yeah, the most important thing is getting the drums down first, and then you can add the guitars later and vocals.
Yeah, there's a little production afterwards, but it started from a live recording, so. Yeah.
Cool, and that riff is just absolutely killer. That's one of the best hooks I've heard in a while, as a matter of fact. I mean, that took me back to old school, almost like Hendrix. I mean, it's one of those Hendrix like hooks. It just to be able to pull that off in today's world and do it the way that you guys do with Whiskey's Guns and Girls, it's pretty freaking fantastic.
Thank you.
Thanks
a lot, man. That's cool.
Awesome.
All right, so what I'm going to do, let me, we just talked about it. I'm going to play Whiskey's Guns and Girls for these guys. Right. We'll take a little bit of a break here. We'll let the Mystery Beetle get all settled in. I had to say it once.
I deserve it.
It's all right, dude. It's all right. So here, I've got Chris Jones Band live on the air. Here's Whiskey's Guns and Girls. We'll be right back. There, and there it is, Whiskey's Guns and Girls. Yeah, and so, you know, the riff on that just, it kills me. It absolutely kills me.
Figured what we do is put everything that a man would really like, Whiskey, Guns, and Girls, into one song, and that's, we thought, you know, it's going to be a killer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, I'm going down through the list right now. Whiskey, Guns, Girls. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'd be down with that. All right, so you guys had the opportunity here in the last couple of weeks to get back on the road, and I haven't talked to any of y'all about this, but I got the impression from what I was reading on social media that that was like a pretty big experience for you guys.
Well, it was definitely cool. It's our first show we got to play in a year, so all of us were had plenty of angst to get up on stage and play. And
that's great.
There was just some, a lot of, over 14 bands, I think, that day, rotating off every half an hour until later in the evening where they got 45 minutes. But to me, I think we had the perfect slot in the evening. We were on the indoor stage. It was comfortable. The place was, like, packed. And then when we started playing, everybody that was outside started coming in, and all eyes were on us. It was really awesome. Yeah, just felt good to get up there and go. And Jeremy was on fire. He basically took on that microphone and showed it who's boss, and tosses back there. Just yeah. He had a little issue with some drums earlier in the day, but he got everything figured out, and
he
didn't miss a beat. And it was a really great show.
It was awesome. I felt great. I was in my element. I was like, finally, this is what I was made to do. You know what I mean?
Like, so when was the last time you guys played live before that?
Like February, I think, last year.
Yeah, February, March of last year. 2020. Almost to a year to a, you know, right to the minute.
It was an awesome show, so at least it left us on a high.
Yeah.
But for sure. Not enough to last a whole year, though.
Well, no, no. No, I got to go to two live shows last year, and I whined the entire time in between, because you know, even back in Colorado, we could at least get out a couple of times a month to hear live music, and you know, yeah. So, was there any angst that maybe the magic wasn't going to be there when you guys stepped on stage, or were you comfortable knowing that? Yeah, we got the shit under control. We're just going to go out there and slam.
Yeah, I was ready.
Yeah, and honestly, we were all so damn ready to get up there and just knew it was going to be epic, and it was.
Yeah, it felt really good to finally just play live in front of a, you know, a crowd, and especially a bunch of people that didn't, you know, probably didn't know who we were.
And put it to you this way. We've had a year to polish those songs up really well, and they sounded like a million bucks.
It was fun.
So what's next for you guys? I kind of know the answer to this, but I kind of don't. So what's next for Chris Jones Band?
Well, we're getting ready to release a song, or two songs, here, EP here in just on 420. We actually are going to have Mr. Tommy Chong introduce our stuff on the internet, so it's going to be kind of fun.
Oh, that's cool.
And
Dave's not here, man.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. So it's a two-song EP. One of them is going to be right there where you can expect it to be. It's called High on My Supply. And it's a pretty cool, tight little groove. And it's got its own little thing. You'll have to listen to it to understand. And then Mary Jane, me and my Mary Jane, is a little bit different for us. It starts off on the bass. And it's kind of got a little rap going on in there. So it's a little different.
But yeah, don't give it away. Don't give it away.
That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
That's
you
all,
have to listen for yourself.
That's all I need to hear. So we're good. And I mean, that's cool. You know, two more songs. Because you guys have been pushing it out. And, you know, there was a period there where we didn't hear from you. And understandably so, because, you know, we had COVID going on. But then, you know, we've been kind of spoiled here over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 months. Because it seems like every time, just about when something falling off the chart, here comes some new Chris Jones, and it just freaking rocks. So I'm really...
We don't want you slacking over there. We're trying to keep you busy.
But, you know, in today's world, in today's music world, I think it's harder to stay relevant just doing the album thing. I've had discussions with a couple of artists, and they're always balancing, trying to balance, do we do it as a single? Do we hold it all until we have an album? because it's hard to stay relevant, especially on the indie scene, because there is so much great music going on. It's almost got to be in every couple of months or every few months, because if you don't, you've made it through the heavy rotation on the stations that are playing indie artists, and you just kind of fall into that medium to low rotation. So it's been kind of cool, because we've been able, you know, the music's been well received every time we've gotten it. So it's real easy to see why it ends up in the top 30. And I think it's just cool as hell that Tommy Chong's going to be the one to introduce it. Oh, my God. I'm having such serious flashbacks right now.
Well, we figured, you know, why not try to get the King of Weed to introduce a 420 EP, you know. Yeah,
yeah. Dude, those were the albums that we had to play at somebody's house when nobody's parents were home.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this is it.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Oh, my
God. I got a cassette when I was about 10. And it just, like, blew my mind. I was like, oh, my gosh, where has this been all my life? You know what I mean?
Oh, it was them. Like, them, George Carlin.
Yep. Class Clown.
And remember Firesign Theater?
I don't remember that.
No. Okay. It was like ensemble comedy before Saturday Night Live made ensemble comedy cool. It was really kind of weird shit. All right. I'm trying to think if there was anything else that I had that was like pressing in terms of you know, getting information from you guys. So you started alluding, well, you talked about the show that you're doing, the round that you're doing with Jessica. You guys got anything else on the calendar here in the next few months?
Ording. Yeah, we're going to be headlining the Ording Rock Fest, which is a local show down here, not too far from where we live, which is going to include MMR artist Strangely All Right, and a lot of other artists around here from the Northwest. And then we got some out-of-town shows that are in the works, but nothing's official yet because of situations. Mm-hmm. But then we're actually working on a 22 tour, East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, we want to come visit you.
Hey, I'm down with it. I'm trying to figure out. We have this really nice park here that has a pretty good sized band shell, and I'm trying to figure out how much it costs to like use it, type of thing. Because you know, here, well, Chris, you know, here in the summertime, we have a few people out and about, just a few.
Yeah.
I mean, traffic already sucks. Not as bad as it does out there, but it's not as nice as it was a month ago. So East Coast tour, that would be cool. That'd be cool.
Possibly Midwest, too. Probably stop through Illinois. That's where I used to live. Still have some connections back there, so we'll probably do a few shows around that area and then work our way to North Carolina.
By way of Nashville, of course, because we want to go there and go through there. And then I've got a lot of friends down in the Florida area and haven't decided if we're going to try to hit up towards Boston. Because they got a lot of friends up in that area as well. So we don't know quite which way we're going yet, but we're trying to make it all happen and trying to get all the funds together. And as you know, that's the whole process, promoting it, trying to get the funds, make sure all the logistics are good to go. But we're definitely working on it. And of course, we got Beth on duty with it, and she's on point, so.
Yeah, and Beth's in the show chat, so I know she's listening to the show. So, Beth, you have one thing you need to do for me, because the guys mentioned that they're doing a show with Strangely All Right. I need some video. I need some video, because I hear the Chris Jones Band live experience is awesome. I hear that Strangely All Right experience is just out of this world. And,
Yeah, they're pretty awesome, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. That Soda Cracker Jesus single that he just dropped is freaking incredible. All right.
Regan is a mastermind. He's a really cool take on things, you know.
Yeah, I love his positivity and he and I are not necessarily cut from the same mold, but we can strike up a conversation with each other real quick. And he's just a great guy.
You know, I will say that one thing you were talking about the Pacific Northwest and whatnot. And I think the one thing that I've taken out of this whole music family up from here is their positivity. Just like, you know, Regan and Raymond, Sammy, those guys are just like positive lights. They are beams, and you can't help but to be gravitated towards that positivity. And I think that's awesome, you know?
And I would agree, because the three that you've met, I've met and had a chance to talk to all three of them face to face. And it is always just a great conversation and a great time.
Very genuine people. And it's good to have musicians that are actually genuine and cool, that want to boost each other up and, you know, try to help one another than some kind of competition or something. You know?
Well, and you know, that's the one thing that I loved I think that's what drew me back into music was I started listening to some of the indie music and Sammy, I mean, Blue Helix, I think was like the third or fourth band that I actually found on the internet when I decided to go looking. It is much more of a community. You know, my musical career ended long time ago. I'll just leave it at that. And it's a whole different environment now, because it used to be real cutthroat and stuff. But, you know, I always love – what I love is I love Monday nights here for Top 30. Usually I've got no less than a half a dozen artists in the show chat and a bunch more listening in the shadows. And you guys are all cheering each other on and really getting into the music and stuff. And it really is – there isn't that cutthroat mentality – so much as there was 30 and 40 years ago when everybody, you know, everybody was just looking for that record deal at any price.
We're all in this together, you know?
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah. And one great thing about, especially considering Music Mafia Radio with all the Pacific Northwest artists, I mean, we've had the pleasure, of playing a few shows, down in Puyallup with Strangely All Right, Limberlost, you know, Sammy Chopey, Leah Justine. I mean, there's a group right there that we've shared the stage with twice, just at the same, at the same venue. And it's just great because we're all on MMR, you know, we all, support each other and, we all know each other very well. So it's just, it's a huge family, and it's even more cool to, see them consistently pop up on MMR and stuff like that, and to see, what they're all up to.
I like seeing the success of all of our peers around here.
Yeah, exactly.
It's cool.
Yeah,
it's awesome. It's been really fun. I've been doing this. I've been doing this gig now. It'll be 4 years in the fall, and it's been really cool to see some of our artists start to break through. I mean, somebody and I can't remember if you mentioned it on air or off air, but Sammy's on MTV2 now.
Yeah,
that's a big freaking deal. And we're seeing some of the stuff break through into terrestrial radio and hitting some of the big market FM stations, not in real heavy rotation, but at least it's getting there. And then, you guys are talking about doing an East Coast tour. When you guys decide what route you want to take, let me know, because I can probably hook you up with folks along the way where you can do double bills.
Definitely love to do that.
They'll know the territory, they'll know the venues, they'll know how to get it the right way. And I think 2022, from a music perspective, 2021, there's not going to be much going on this summer. I mean, there will be some stuff, but it's not going to be anything like it's going to be next summer. And I think next summer everybody's going to be so starved for live music that no matter where you go, you're probably going to end up filling the joint.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be off the hook good. I can't wait.
Me either.
People are starving now.
Oh, yeah. Well, you heard my little whine a little bit before. Two shows all of last year, and it was February and August, and the fact that I had to wait that long was horrible. Now, had the opportunity here to hear a little bit more, but I think next summer, for the bands and the artists that are able to stick it out that long, I think it's going to be a great year for you guys.
Definitely, so. Like you said, we've been stuck in the studio here just writing, like, so we probably have almost another album worth of stuff that we're going to be putting together. So that's kind of ready to go. We just have to get the right production and get the time to record it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's definitely the challenge. All right, so let's see. We talked about, I got to meet the Mystery Beetle.
Hey, here I am.
We talked about the history of the band. Yeah, we have hit all the points, my brothers. All right, so why don't you tell folks where they can find you guys on social media, the internet, where they can find the music that I know that they'll all go out and buy as soon as the show's over.
We are actually working on a brand new website. Until it's up and running, for now, you can just find us on Facebook. And then all the links are available on our webpage from Facebook. So,
yeah, Chris Jones Band on Facebook. All one word on Instagram. I don't have Twitter, so it's probably about the same. And then I think there's one more. We're on TikTok or something, right?
And we're on every major platform.
Yeah, do us a favor and sign in to YouTube and like our channel and
subscribe.
Like our song, subscribe. That'll help us out a lot.
Yeah,
that would be awesome. Yes.
Are you guys?
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask, are you guys seeing some decent traffic on YouTube?
Yeah, there's a little bit going on. We still have quite a bit more material to get together to put up there, but things are starting to pick up. Our Spotify is on fire. And then a lot of the independent radio stations that Beth has been hitting up is, like I said, we're doing really well. UK, Australia, and a couple other countries too. And it's like, it's pretty cool to see those hit, like Driver hitting the charts, Whiskey Guns of Girls, Always, Throw It All Away. They're all still charting, so it's pretty cool.
That is damn cool, and I'm not surprised with the UK. UK is, well, actually, right now it's our third largest market. Behind the U.S. and, strangely enough, Egypt. I haven't been able to figure that one out yet. But we have a bunch of people in Egypt listening, but U.K., especially Ireland. I mean,
Assalamu alaikum.
We're getting a ton of stuff from South Africa as well. So,
well, there's a huge, we've got, I don't know, probably at least a dozen artists here in the last year that we've picked up from South Africa. There's a really cool music scene going on down there, too. So that makes sense.
Okay, so Beth just chimed in on the site here and said, hey, idiot. No, I'm just kidding. It's ChrisJonesBand.com. Just type that in. That's it.
ChrisJonesBand.com?
Yeah. Okay, there we go. I should know that, but anyways, yeah. All right, we got the domain name now. So there we go.
Let's see what happens. So Chris Jones Band. Not that I don't trust Beth, but yeah.
You got to be checking on that girl. I'm telling you.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
There it is. Actually, I was...
Yes, so everything that's updated on the daily from our band is basically done through Beth. She's done a hell of a job on the promotion, so I just want to make sure that she knows how much we appreciate her.
Hi, Beth.
What's up, girl?
Well, we appreciate her, too, because like I said earlier, you know, I can tell when I get something from Beth because it's got, like, details to it. And, yeah, the punctuation is correct. Yeah, whoever pointed that out before.
Yeah, she's a pretty sharp pencil, I'll tell you.
All right, cool. All right, guys, this has been great. I've had a blast. We're going to have to do it again sometime soon. Well, not soon, but sometime here.
Well, hopefully the next time we're having a conversation, we're face-to-face and we're rocking the stage and having a great time.
That's right.
That would, I don't know that necessarily that I want to wait that long until that being the next time, but I can't wait to have that opportunity to see you guys live because, again, you know, everything that I've heard has said that it's an incredible show. You guys have great energy on stage. And, yeah, so we'll have to do that. We'll have to do that.
So I'm for sure, to, my brother.
I'm trying to figure out what I want to play right now. All right. All right, so you guys hang out with me. To the rest of you, I've been chatting with Chris Jones' band, been having a freaking blast. I'll be back in a few minutes, but I'm going to go say goodbye to these guys off air. And while I'm doing that, you can listen to Chris Jones' band.